is what? The testimony, the message of Christ embedded in the writings. The message of Christ. Why? John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, don't use a unique word there. The word logos. Logos means an idea, a mindset, a plan, something that precedes what you say. You know, before you say something, there's a thought behind what you have said. What you say expresses what you thought, what you believe, what you wanted to be. Let's end up from over here. So, he says, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and God was the Logos. John 1:1. And he also says to you, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, without him was there anything made that was made. So, everything the prophet spoke, there was a mindset. That mindset is a person. So, every book was to unveil, speak of, and testify of a person. That person is called the Word of God. John comes in the Word of God, John 1:1. John, 1 John 1:1 says, God sent in the Word of Life. Revelation 19:13 is called the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Word of God is a living person. The message, the thought, the idea, the living person. So, everybody spoke, the prophet spoke, and then what they spoke was documented, written, either by the sons or the agents or the friends or the associates. What they said was documented. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and you're listening to something I'm going to say more. So, don't forget, at this material point in time, we're referring to which books? From Genesis to what? That kind of word. Right? Genesis to Malachi. Everything Jesus referred to here is from Genesis to Malachi. And the same thing that Peter said was referring to Genesis again to Malachi. Let's see that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Reflecting the end of your salvation. End of the salvation of your soul. Of what salvation? The prophets at once inquire and search diligently. Will be what? Prophesy on the grace that shall come unto you. And you see the one that shall come even bitterness. Because actually, what is the grace unto you? And it is grace for you. Look at verse 11. Let's see verse 11 together, everybody. Let's go. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when they testified something of Christ and the glory that should come. Now, look at that now. This is the Spirit of Christ in them testified of what? The suffering of Christ. And then the glory that you hold. So we're not talking about just mentioning Jesus. Okay? What is the message? The sufferings of Christ. And what else? The glory that you hold. Remember, that's the same thing Jesus said in Luke 24. The sufferings of Christ. And then the glory that will come. So the message of Christ that binds the scriptures together is what? The sufferings of Christ. And what? The glory that you hold. Okay? Okay? And that's one. Everybody? The same thing there. Unto whom this was revealed, they were unto themselves, but unto us did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, who have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to do. So, that means the prophecies that they made was promissory in nature. They promised something in the prophecy. The prophecy was about the suffering of Christ and the glory that will follow after the suffering. So that's what binds the scriptures together. The suffering of Christ and the glory that will follow. Now let me share this right along the time. I've said it in many places, and I'm going to say it again. The Bible is not the Word of God. Okay? the Bible is not depressing. I need to understand it here. I want to say something. Know the difference between inspired words and inspired documentation of words. For instance, now, if I read the book of Genesis, I know that Moses was inspired by God to write it down. Okay? Now, okay? But I know that not every word in Genesis is inspired by God. For instance, the serpent said to the woman, it is not going to be so. Did God tell you not to eat of every tree? He knows that your eyes will be open, you will be like God. Now, was that inspired by God? No. But was the writing of that statement inspired by God? Yes. God inspired Moses to write down what the devil said. From one of them, he said, was not inspired by God. This is how that says, I can see. Good. So if I say, whatever I read in the Bible, I will follow. I will see. That's the reason for study and explanation. That's why Jesus took the disciples and studied with them and explained to them. Second, the one who took the says, to study to show that as a prophet of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly divided. That means you can wrongly divide. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, quickly. So, you understand the thing, inspired words, words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, the writing of the Bible is inspired by God. God inspired men to write down the things we read. But not everything we read in the Bible is true. Because liars spoke in the Bible. Thieves spoke in the Bible. Rebellious people spoke in the Bible. And God, through his prophets, spoke about Christ in the Bible. So whenever I'm studying the Bible, I rightly divide the word of truth. Just like Jesus, I explain Christ. Amen. From the scriptures. Let me see another statement. Okay. So even just think about this, whatever I read there, you know, and it has to be, I mean, whatever it's God speaking to me. And people do that a lot. You'll pick words out of, but now you'll pick the book of Job. You speak words out of Job's mouth that was inspired by God. The one who the Lord speaks to the living of the Lord. Shall we receive evil from the Lord? Good from the Lord? Shall we not receive evil from me? That's not inspired by God. Amen. But he said so. That's not inspired by God. So, don't know the difference between inspired writings and inspiration itself. Okay? This writing was inspired by God to write down what someone said. Not what he said is inspired by God. Okay? At this point, we're still dealing with the things that Jesus said. And Jesus said that if you will, now, it's not necessary. It's for what was necessary. If everything in the Bible, the Old Testament, Mother, was true, then there was no need to teach. There was no need to explain. But Jesus took people so far so that they can explain. And that only happened one day. That happened within 40 days, as we'll see later. Now, what is this? We have books from Genesis to Malachi. And the Bible says that Jesus quoted from these books. Jesus, for instance, quoted from Moses, Matthew 15, Matthew 19. He quoted Samuel, John 3, 41, talk about the serpent of the wilderness. He quoted from Moses. So that authenticates Moses. Is that okay? It authenticates Moses' life. He quoted from Isaiah. He quoted from Jeremiah. He quoted from Hosea. He quoted from the prophets. He quoted from David's Psalms. He quoted from the cross. He spoke out what David said in the Psalms. I mean, in Luke 24, we read that earlier. He preached from Psalms. He preached from all the prophets. That means those are the books that Noah testified of him. So anybody that is going to write any of this must write from that foundation. Not allowed to just get up one day, think of something, and they're like, no, that would be good writing, a good book. You can enjoy the book, but we'll not call it a book inspired by God. So, Psalms. We can, are we going to be able to authenticate Genesis to Malachi? Right? Well, because they spoke concerning Christ, Jesus was going to authenticate them by quoting and preaching from them. You know, Malachi, Jesus said, messenger that will go before me, and that messenger is quoting from Isaiah, quoting from Isaiah, quoting from Jeremiah, quoting from Hosea, Amos, quoting from Genesis, Numbers, natural incidents, and China, showing me that those writings were authenticated by Jesus himself. Okay? And besides, when Jesus came to the scene in John, those writings were accepted among the Jews, and he took those writings and explained from them. Okay? Okay? Good. Now, Jesus never wrote any book. There is no book of Jesus. The only time we saw him write, he was in John 8, and he wrote on the floor. He wrote on the inside. So, except you who have the way of reading things on the sun, maybe you have found out. But you don't get it right. When the woman who was caught in adultery, and the Bible says he wrote on the ground, he wrote with his finger. I don't know how many of you have those right. I don't know what he wrote. Maybe he was drawing, when he was in his he never wrote it. But the old books, that's right about him. Okay? Now, how then, now, we are okay with the first books of the Bible, the very first book, what is in your book called the Old Testament. Now, let me mention it well. Look up now. So that this will clear. Think of the Bible. Remember the Bible. Now, when is it again? Say it again. Is it inspired of? Come to me. Is it inspired of what? No. It was put by the print. Now, let's go on. Yes, clear. Coming from the Apostles chapter 1, which was also written by Luke, by one man directly. The time I tell you how to all Theophilus, I just want one. Of all that Jesus began what to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Who also he showed himself alive, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, having seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So many things were written to give a human narration, a human perspective. What is my day? Not people have spoken that Jesus was going to come. Has he come? Has he come? Yes, he has. How do we know? Suppose he was here. Mary did. Joseph did. Zechariah, Elizabeth. There must be more telling you. Okay. Not about the disciples will. Praise the Lord. Are you together? Blind Bartimaeus, Lazarus, Nils, you can identify with Martha, Mary, Jairus, Cornelius, Nicodemus. Praise God. Without name, Seraphim, Elizabeth, Harriet Will. Harriet will tell you, yes, the Father answered me, but I've done nothing wrong. Tell me, the Son of God. Well, that's my business with that. You authenticate what the scriptures are saying. They give them to the hands of Jesus. So those things were eyewitnesses that the scriptures spoken by the prophets have been fulfilled amongst them. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, that shows you something. That point won't go there. So when I agree, or when I can see that the four gospels will not be a complete revelation. Without Quran, without the Quran, without the Quran, without the Quran, because they were narratives that were to make us believe. Now look at John, look at John 5:31, 1 John 5. Turn the picture of John now, chapter 5, now just read where he wrote John 5:31. Turn the picture of John chapter 5. Verse 13. Verse 13. Become one of us. That tells a very good to you that believe on the name of the Son of the Holy. He has said, I write the first one so that you might be. Now, the result is also that your word. And to you that already believe, that you have your know that you are having eternal life. The other part of the says, and that he may believe that the Son of God is contradictory, And in many Bible verses in Italy, it was not in the originals. The book of John 20:31 shows you the book of John was written to people to convince them. Right? Is that correct? Now, 1 John was written to people who were already convinced that they will know what they have in Christ. The book of John was written to convince those who today that Jesus is the Son of God. And 2 John, who was in John, was in the God's word of the believers, that they will know what they have. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, that tells you something. Now, the Bible is a book of progressing revelation. Progressing revelation. So, understand the Word of God, you will have to read the whole Bible. That doesn't. That doesn't matter what you when you come to church about the Bible it shows. You don't know what I do. You have to read the whole Bible. Because the whole Bible has a central theme that cannot be understood easily by only one of the books. And when Jesus wrote through all of the books, and Paul condemned that Timothy for not having all of the books. Amen. Amen. Now, I've explained this about Rama and Logos to you before. Rama is referring to what the prophet spoke at each time in issue. Logos is where you put everything together and now understand what he's saying. Logos is when you now read the whole Bible and understand the mind of God. You cannot know the mind of God until you read the whole Bible. What about authority, giving, worship, prayer, you know what? That's all by. What about the dispensations of the times? That things happen. When is this happened now? And it's no longer valid now. You all know why one of the old covenant people have by the blood of idols is no longer valid now. You will discover only valid the world by. That's all right. No, but I'm here to authenticate Ephesians. But not saying, are you going down to Ephesians now? What do you mean? We're going to be able to talk about the four gospels, how to be the human narration of what Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what everybody said. They have to be authenticated by higher witnesses. So the four gospels authenticated, validated the prophecies. Those folks have spoken about the incarnation have been fulfilled right in those 3.5 years. That comes from over here now. But now you can get more strikes more. God was so many times, and the God of matters spoke in temperance or in temperance. Or to the fathers by the prophets. So, Jesus to Mary. The higher God spoke well in time past. Now, what is it? It says, in former times and in various manners. So, under the old covenant from Genesis to Malachi, we are going to see various manners in different times, dispensations. Now, in various manners is when you have partial truth. Partial truth. Incomplete statements, that's what it means. It's a real statement of truth, but it's not complete. So, when you have a prophet spoke, when you're in partial truth, partial truth. Now, you have a book. And then people are writing different pages. Or let me say, that's because chapter. I don't know whether I've read this right. I was just a crazy example here. coming. Then maybe chapter 1, you second coming, comes chapter 2, you don't even look. And then when the right one is down, you're going to be the first chapter. So when I understand the first chapter, I'll call it A1. Ooh, it's called 1A. That's what you're writing for. Because you have to read the end to understand everything. So in some way, each of the prophets spoke in different portions of the feast. And so, God spoke in diverse manners. Most of the prophets and the beings of God under that covenant were in types and shadows. Types and shadows. You see lambs, animals, blood of animals and goats. You see a physical temple. You see priests. Different priests at different times. You see grain produced, given to God as an offering. You see different things happen at different times. You see a physical land called the promised land. God was speaking, but he was using types and shadows. Delicate. But when? In time past. In time past. And when time, the Passover, this is in Exodus 12 and 13, where they have the bread and then the wine. It took the wine and then they get the bread. But people are still eating the bread today, and they're eating the wine, and they'll tell you it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But the bread and the wine were symbols. Symbolical representations of Christ. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. He says, do this with the end in your mind. So when you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Paul said that. Hebrews in 1 Corinthians 11. What does that mean? Till he dies. You demonstrate how the Lord will die. Till he dies. Not that when the Lord has died, God begins to remember us party for him. And you know, remember about Jesus Christ who died, and you know, you are mourning him. No, he died and rose again. So I cannot remember his death when he has victory over death. But the emphasis of that statement was to show you why for almost 2,000 years people were taking the bread and the wine was to show the Lord's death. He comes. I'm going to explain that in more detail as we go on. Are we starting this? Are we following this? Good. The organization of the capital, what is happening? For instance, if I was somewhere, I'm about to come and I said, alright, just keep a space for me. And then you put my bag on the seat. Then when it comes, everybody does my bag. It was, oh, that's his bag. This is the one sitting there. James is sitting there. That represents me to life. I'll come, I take the bag, and I sit. And then, you want to talk to me? Then I'm looking for my bag. James! Oh, James, what a wonderful guy you are. You think you're not properly constituted upstairs? Because that was to be there till I come. Now that I have come, put away the bag. But he's gone. The oil was consecration, the anointing under the oak. Now the Holy Spirit has come. We'll use oil. The bread was to typify the body of Jesus till he died. Now that Christ has died, you are partaking of his body and his blood, you have eternal life. Do not eat bread and wine anymore as a proof of our communion in Christ, because we are already joined together with the Lord and we are one spirit with him. Praise the Lord. Do not use water, for instance, water baptism was used to typify our baptism into Christ's death. John used that until Christ came. And when Christ came, John said, I baptize in water, but he will baptize in what? The Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:5, Jesus said, look, John baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, when you have baptized with the Holy Ghost and you're still going under water, something is to be checked somewhere. Something is wrong. So, God has spoken in sundry times and diverse manners using water. But now, he doesn't use water. He has spoken to us through Jesus.
measure, gem, or what? So, if I want the man as well as I was finished for them, if I want to, I've done that many things, and I don't have that. And I've done that many things, step out of the us and be strong. And I've done the way I put in Christ. When I put it down on all the things, I will also in the world, within the baptism of his glory, the expression of his person, on all the other things by the word of his prayer, when he has done so, pushed us in circle the right hand of God, or even the majesty of God. Now, notice something here. God struck by the prophets, so the people that walk on him and his entire family. What is the problem here for? It's all concerning Christ. But Jesus never said, "Don't fear the Lord," because he is the Lord. He never used "Don't fear the Lord," because he wasn't speaking for someone. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are we not? There is no Word of God. So the Word became flesh. 1 Corinthians 10, Colossians 2, 16 to 18 will show you that days and months that were kept by the Jews and the sacrifice and symbols and ceremonies were to typify Jesus. Paul says that now that we have the substance, we cannot continue drinking and eating and saying that's Christ. Now we have the substance. 1 Corinthians 10 shows you that the rope that followed them was Christ, the meat they had was Christ, the food that they ate was Christ, the drink was Christ. He said, how did you see that? Because the rock was a symbol, the water was a symbol, the money was a symbol of Jesus Christ. Then the cross has come, we put away the shadow, we put away the symbol. And we have the reality. He's a man's name. But through the word, you came, thrust, and dwelt amongst us. That is the essence of the four gospels. That is the essence of the four gospels. And that's why the whole narrative of time, perfect narrative of times and dates. Because as I tell the human account, it's only the problem with this. I remember if God sacks talking out to say, you're going to write this about Jesus. Written by those who were not there for all the events, but were told that they were there and they mentioned their name. So that we can have proof that truly these events happened. It's not about my vision. How can I show anybody this one? Because people should have seen those things easily. Let me show you what we're saying here. So the four gospels are human testimonies. That is why they have them. In the parable of the sower, the three of them. Slightly bury the cross. Because naturally, as I speak now, you're writing. If I take all your notes, it's not likely you all will be the same thing. Are you with me here? But if I take all your notes together, you know you're all intelligent, I should know what I said. So when you're studying the Bibles, you take all the Bible, then you know what you just sometimes look away, but some because it's human, don't forget. But if you want to understand it, maybe it did, but some of them, for example, I'm talking now, and I mentioned some things, so we just have this repeat. You know, so sometimes Luke is particular about certain things, Matthew is not. But when you take all the accounts together, that's why John said, we can't write everything in the book. But the one that is enough for you to believe. Praise the Lord. If, for instance, we all watch a football game, I want to mention which one. I watched one last week. Real Madrid and Arsenal. I really was not happy. So, We're going to pray. You can show someone and say, well, why are we going to say, well, because he did that. How did that go in the first group? Yeah, I know this one passed for them, you know. It's because it's a new right now. Well, that might explain when I was in the stadium, I should at least have an idea of how the goal was caught. Praise the Lord. So the human accounts will not be perfect. But the message in them was what? Thank you. Philistines, they were apostles. And they were concerned other apostles, such as Simon and the elders. And some people were preaching to Jews and non-Jews and Gentiles, which are an abomination to a Jew until Christ died. They were preaching to Gentiles. And they called the Barabbas and Paul. Come and tell them what they're doing. So until Acts 15, then you can explain also, and Peter was another Cornelius. The church was living in a limited revelation, a limited spirit of God. But the one who received the truth of God's word was slow and gradual. So from the grace of the apostles, that was based on their knowledge and their understanding. The Jews are just crazy. Now, all you and others were called to that work. I'll expatiate on that mostly. So, the major issue in the church doctrine is that salvation is for all. In the major issue, the apostle Peter in Acts 15, that Peter is the highest God that God has shown in the visions of the church. And for, I mean,
Understands the place of confirmation. Colossians
since the revelation he had, he went to the apostle before him, then she will run on in vain. One for another apostle. And even apostle at the time, he was sent by the church to Jerusalem, so he was known in Jerusalem. And even apostle at 13, he was sent by the church in Antioch, which included Jews, the scattered, and the spirit. And 15 was called by the apostles, and he was given commendation. And no commendation by the apostles was not Jesus, who received the commandment, was acknowledged by them as the passion of Paul. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Peter acknowledged him by calling him the brother. A brother Paul, and more than that, Peter recognized the wisdom that was given to him. Peter took up those verse 15, the epistles of Paul. Peter recognized that the Peter and Paul were very hard to see that difference. Let's read Peter and Paul, the epistles of Paul, scriptures. He has found them with the older scriptures. He identified the title of Paul as valid as the other scriptures. So Paul was given commendation and recommendation by other apostles. Let's see how that's going to be here now. So we can read these writings. Also, the Christ-centered view of the scriptures is seen in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 3. He has blessed us in Christ. 4. Chosen us in Christ. 5. Resurrected with us in Christ. 6. Set us in song. Christ is seen. Is just. Is resurrected. Is spoken of by Paul. Ephesians 1, 16. 17, 18 to 21. He tells for them, he wrote that book so that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. They will know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the vision of the glory of heaven and the sea. They will know what is the power that was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead. About the church of God. You know, well, about the death of Jesus, Ephesians 2, 6 to 9. So Paul's letters to the Ephesian church is in tandem and agreement with the body of scriptures. Just like Peter said, Paul is the Ephesians concerned with the sufferings of Christ and what is the glory that follows. Paul is the Ephesians is Hebrews 1, 2. He is speaking tongues and shadows. Paul spoke in Christ. Hallelujah. That's a primary letter to be studied. 2 Timothy 2 Peter 1, 20. It is not a primary interpretation. You can see it came from the same origin where we got Jeremiah. It came from the same origin where we got Isaiah. He came from the same origin when he got Moses. We found what Christ, God did in us, through Christ and for us. Secondly, what we think of ourselves to study, because it needs copious and several references to the Old Testament. Ephesians 1:10, God in this is our pleasant times, brought everything to Christ. Ephesians 2:12-15, talks about the Jews, the common word of the promise, the covenants. Ephesians 4, 8 and 9. He quoted from Isaiah 68, verse 18. He left a book of team, he had an eye, and then gave his resume. He quoted from the Psalms. In Ephesians 4, 25, when he says, the angry and sin not, he was quoting. Now, when he says, when he said, speak the truth, everyone to his neighbor, was quoted in Zechariah 8, 16. In the passage where I said the angry and sin not was quoted from Psalm 37:8. In the Ephesians 5:14, when it says arise and Christ will give you light, was quoted Isaiah 26:19, Isaiah 60:1. In Ephesians 5:31, when he spoke about this cause and the family leave his father and mother and give his wife, was quoted Genesis 2:24. In Ephesians 6:2-3, young father is the honor of your parents, and then to be honored on earth. Was quoted Exodus 20:12 and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15. Are you done? So, now proof that this book did not stand on its own. It's a book that speaks about Christ, spoken and written by a first apostle of God, known and accepted by all from the Old Testament. On Paul's ministry, you will see that Paul always comes from the Old Testament. Acts 13 verse 5, he quoted from the Old Testament. Acts 13, 16 to 41, he took the Old Testament to explain about Jesus. Acts 17, 11 to 12, the man of Galilee, when he heard about Paul, he went to search whether those things were so. When did they search? They searched from where? The scriptures. That means Paul taught from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Bible partners us, he told them, there are much room to declare unto you the entire counsel of God. Acts 20, 17. The entire counsel of God. He also put up on Jesus' words, Acts 20, 35. What better to give than to receive? Which is the solution of what Jesus said. In 1 Corinthians 11, he quoted what Jesus said at the table. And he said, this is my body broken for you. He quoted from Jesus' words. Praise the Lord. And don't forget, every time Paul goes to any place, particularly the Ephesus, he will go to the synagogues. Why? In all the synagogues, the scriptures are read. You can't just quote. So the invitation he did in the synagogues was from where? The scriptures. In God. As an offering. So, for us to the African church is very for us to understand the word of God. Because it's not inspired by Paul, it is inspired by God. How do we know? Because he quoted from the Old Testament. It's not from the Old Testament. It's spoke about Jesus, and he was an apostle of God, duly and evidently anointed of the Spirit of God like every other one. So we are relying on this book. Amen. And more so, he writes to them why Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. Jesus spoke about us being in him. John 16:33. John 14:1-2. So let's talk to some history about the church in Ephesus. Acts 19, verse 1-6. Paul came to Ephesus and met some people, some certain disciples. Acts 19:1-6. He met some disciples. You know, and then he asked them a question, have you ever seen the Holy Ghost as you believe? And they said, we are not really having the Holy Ghost. And then he said to them, well, but what were you baptized into? John's baptism. In Acts 20:17, he called the same elders much about 1 more years after, and now gave the testimony of how he met them. Acts 20:17-32. Now, the question would be this. Was that the first time Paul came to Ephesus? No. We'll share much of this next week. In Acts 18, verse 19, we find that Paul, actually with Priscilla and Aquila, came to Ephesus, and they went to the Jews in the synagogues. And usually the Jews, you know, I did do all four times, so they did open them with the Bible. And of course, what he said, he visited with them and all that, but he was alone. Because in verse 20, Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila wanted him to stay, but Paul didn't stay. He left Ephesus immediately. So he left them behind. And while he left them behind, the same man by the name of Apollos was found in the synagogues teaching about Jesus. But the only thing he thought about was the baptism of John. Apollos would never preach about salvation. He only talked about the validity of the anointing of Jesus, which is what is referred to as the baptism of John. Well, because John gave the evidence that the Holy Spirit came on Jesus. So, I was right about the synagogues and preaching and praying from the scriptures, but knowing only John's baptism. I'm giving you a background connection. Amen. It is only the baptism of John. And that kind of thing entrusted to verse 26, the son of Aquila would have been touched by Paul. The ministers calling Rasul Paul, who enjoyed themselves, that's why they were in the synagogue anyway, followed him and then explained unto him the word of God better. They taught him the word. So, the question we have here was Apollos said before this scripture, or all it had to be, because when the Pharisees was instructed in the word of the Lord, yet his revelation was limited. So the result he got from that revelation we readily see. And we can look at this to those folks that Paul met in Acts 19, who can be only knew the baptism of John, and they were not saved. Where a former pastor, this guy in Aquila, instructed him and taught him more, did not stay in Ephesus. He went to Acacia. And later on went to Corinth. He didn't stay in Ephesus. So Paul counseled Ephesus, and the young guys who were baptized by water and had the message of the anointing of Jesus and the baptism of John, but they were not saved. So he told them, well, John did speak of Jesus that will come, that you will believe, that you will be saved. And I know that Paul says, when you have this, you are baptized not by water, but by the Spirit of God into Christ Jesus. And I think that is very unique. Why? The gospel message that got to the Ephesus, to the Ephesian church, was so unique. Because we see that Paul deals with people that he met at the point of salvation to have them grow up to be ministers. And ministers now evolve from them. We see the beauty of the truth of what Christ actually did when in us, and what he is doing now through us. You look at the book of Ephesians, you'll see chapter 1 to chapter 3 deals with what Jesus did for us, how he died on the cross for us, how he suffered for us. You read, you know, who we are in Christ, what we have of in Christ, who we are. When you're creatures, chapter 2 of this book, you only have one part of the household. You read the power that walks in us. By the time we get to chapter 4, chapter 6, you now see what Christ is doing in us now. Our walk in Him. Our growth in Him. Our development in Him. So the book contains two things. It contains what? Who we are in Christ. Who Christ is in us. And what Christ is doing in us. It's a perfect book for discipleship. This book, legal work as it were, redemption, is a vital work to me. You hear instructions how to pray, be strong with the Lord, to stand against the master of the devil, to obey Him, to be humble, to be submissive, to walk in love, to forgive. Amen. In the same book. So that we have interesting study. I can't remember now that we close. I think that was one. We're finally back to Ephesians. And I think I've done a couple of things this morning. Let me try to be deep. Number one. For the apostle of Jesus Christ, with the word of God, to the servants of God, to the apostles, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, peace. From God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read that 3 together as we stand up. That part of peace. Verse 3. Don't forget that, and forget about Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all those special blessings in the heavenly places. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in a few times, we're going to read all of Hallelujah. Well, he's writing to a church that should know or knows that they have everything. And they have that. They have that trying to be strong, to walk, to obey, to submit. To keep the devil coming from them. Yet there's a church that has all. And I got it. We'll see the all, and we'll see the not all. Praise the Lord. I have an account this morning. We tell them to ask them to bless the Lord. Thank you.